Cliff is up first, speaking on the intro to environmental science and sustainability, the first core requirement course that the students see when they get here. Take it away, Cliff.
So since I'm videotaped and presumably somebody's going to watch this, I just want to say for the record that it's winter 2015. There's a lot of snow outside. I spent most of this morning shoveling snow instead of working on this. So I'm going to be talking about the introduction to environmental science and sustainability class that Gene Madsen and I teach together. The basic premise of this course is that there's a lot of information, an overwhelming amount of information about environmental science. The techniques for working in the realm of environmental science have changed rapidly throughout my lifetime, even more rapidly recently. We have things like automated sensors, we have analytical techniques, we have ways of doing data visualization that were just incomprehensible when I was in a classroom at Cornell University 40 years ago. And at the same time, there's also the environmental landscape is changing constantly, and that's what the students face when they come in here. Many of the students in this class have taken Introduction to Environmental Science classes. They learned a lot of facts. I think it's kind of trite here at the university for us to say that I don't know that it's important for us to teach facts in the classroom anymore. If they want facts, they can pick up their smartphone, they can look on Wikipedia, and they can find that kind of information. The thing that we often say to ourselves is we're going to teach critical thinking. I'm not sure what critical thinking is. What I'm going to talk to you about is what we teach in this class and the ways we try to get students to be thinking about environmental problems and using the information that they have to make sense of these problems. And I do this actually in the first lecture. I try to take a recent news item, and since we're all good liberals and we listen to NPR, and hopefully, come on, where's my little NPR link that I was going to do here? I started this a couple years ago, come on, with an NPR news story that I heard when I was first teaching this class last year. So let's see if we can do this without the commercial.
Come on. For years now, sea levels have been rising steadily as a result of global warming. But something curious happened in 2010 and 2011. Sea level actually dropped slightly. Scientists puzzling over that hic.
Okay. So the basic premise is, I say to the students, this is something you hear in the news media. They all know that sea level is rising, right? Because they've been taught that in high school, or they hear that in the media. But then what I say is, I take this article and I say, look, let's think about how we get this information. How do we get sense of this information? And I do this starting by showing, in this case, when we first talked about this last year, this is just the manuscript that was reporting the information, and I pick out key points of this manuscript, and they don't know anything about this. I don't know anything about this subject. I'm not a physical modeler, but we talk about the altimeter error. What is the altimeter error? It's a new kind of measurement technique that we have. Yeah, I know, 2 minutes. Matt, I teach in this room, I know what that clock's like. Then I show them the actual information about global mean sea level, and I show them this leveling off, and I talk about the modeling that actually goes into this. And the goal isn't that to teach them the details of this example. The goal is to show them the kinds of things that they have to think about to be able to make sense of this kind of information. It's exhortation. It's saying, look, this is what you need to do when you're at Cornell University. You need to be able to address problems like these people address problems and make sense of it. And again, just to further emphasize this point that we don't need textbooks. You know, when I first came to teaching this course, it was like, why don't you use the textbook? What would a textbook do? It was published in 2012 talking about U.S. oil consumption. Or let's take another example. How about gasoline prices in the last year? The complete environmental landscape has changed. I can see the clock. And then one of the other things that we emphasize in this course is we emphasize trends, because we're constantly talking about environmental trends in this world. Everybody sees it in our news media. I think I probably got this quote courtesy of Evan Cooch. It's tough to make predictions about the future, and that's exactly what we're doing as environmental science, is trying to make sense, trying to map the present conditions into the future. We use this using models, we use this doing statistics, and we use this through making analytical approaches. Pat, I threw this in for you. This is one of the first things we emphasize in the class, because constantly you see in the media correlations. Correlations in environmental conditions and how that's going to predict into the future, and we try to teach the students to separate those things out. What else do we do in the class? We talk about physical processes, core physical processes, geological processes, chemical, biochemical transformations, ecology and evolution, the kinds of forces, the natural sciences forces that influence future environmental trends. We don't ignore the social sciences. We constantly are referring to the fact that humans are impacting the environment or impacting the current environmental conditions. But this is a class in the natural sciences, and we point to the class that Rich Stedman, who I don't see here, is doing in the future. One of the other things we do is we do these field labs. We fortunately here at Cornell University, we have another example of energy sustainability. We have a hydroelectric facility. We have a gas-fired combined heat and power facility. We have the lake source cooling facility. We take these students to these facilities. Also, in another one of our field trips, we take them to the Laboratory of Ornithology, where they definitely get to see the future, and they see extensive modeling using empirical data, trying to make sense of what the future state of the environment is going to be. And the last point I'm going to make, and this is an example that I use at the end of the class, and this is what I want students to be able to do in this class, is I present them with an example like this. This is a book that was published last year that says, no, we don't have a situation of global warming. We're entering a period of global cooling. And on the final exam, we ask them about this, and we ask them to explain how they could refute this answer. The students who don't learn anything in our class say, well, the reason this is wrong is because professors at Cornell University have told me, we all know that the Earth is getting warm, but what we're trying to get them to do is use the information available to them so that they can actually make sense of these kinds of arguments, and in this case, refute this argument. And that's what we do in this class. Thank you.
Thanks, Cliff.